There is no such thing as a happy funeral. But there are funerals where joy mixes with sorrow. One of the hardest parts of being a pastor, though, is leading a funeral for an unbeliever, someone who's made no evident confession of faith in Jesus. And all you can really offer in situations like that is the promise that God is there with those left behind, the family and friends. God can bring them comfort, and in situations like that, I can point people to Jesus where they can find new life. But on the other hand, when a believer passes away, as much as family and friends still feel that loss, the funeral for a believer can be very different. In times like that, the joy of resurrection can mix richly with the sorrow of the loss of that loved one. About 10 years ago, I led a memorial service for a young man named Steve. Steve was a faithful and joyful follower of Jesus, but his life was taken far too soon by a brain tumor. Steve struggled down a hard road the last several years of his life as the tumor grew and robbed him of his ability to walk, eventually his ability to speak. The last several months, he could hardly feed himself. Eventually, he couldn't even make decisions for himself. The death of his broken body was sad. It was hard, but it also meant the release of his soul into God's presence. And so in that sense, it was a joyful moment as he was able to enter into God's presence, and those left behind were sad and yet also joyful. So Steve's memorial service was a celebration of his life. As you can imagine, others who you know have passed on in similar situations, but it was a celebration of eternal life. It was a time to rejoice in the promise of resurrection. That's how memorial services should be for believers. Through the sorrow that we feel, we celebrate the promise of eternal life. This morning, I want us to talk about, to think about the centerpiece of our faith, and that is the promise of resurrection, the great promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We believe that the truest and best part of who we are will live forever. That is our souls, our spiritual hearts, that part of us that God created not to die with our bodies, not to stay here in this life, on this earth, but that part of us that God created to last forever and ever. Now, we believe because Jesus told us that it's true that we will live forever. Jesus made that promise. This morning, and then again next Sunday, we're going to read the story of a man named Lazarus, who I'm sure you'll be familiar with as we read through these stories in the Gospel of John. Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus, and he died while Jesus was away. Jesus was out of town, and Jesus arrived back to comfort Lazarus' family as they grieved over his passing. But then Jesus also performed this extraordinary miracle that we'll really get into next week, but this miracle that proved God's power over death. Jesus also made an amazing promise that we're going to read this morning, a promise that is true in our lives. So listen to kind of the first half of the story here from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, you probably know the end of this story. We'll read more next Sunday. Jesus eventually calls Lazarus from the tomb, and he comes out still wearing the grave wrappings, just as he had been buried there in the tomb. It's one of the most extraordinary and inspiring stories in the whole Bible, not only because Lazarus rose from the dead, but because of the promise that Jesus made to us. And listen to this promise again. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And you think, just as Martha probably thought, how can that be true? What does Jesus mean when he says that? What kind of life does he mean? What kind of death is he talking about? How can that be true, Jesus? These questions cut to the heart of our faith. They reveal something wonderful about who we are, who God created us to be. God created us with a body. Of course, we know about that. But he also created us with a soul. We have a physical body, but we also have a spiritual nature. And these bodies, we're all very aware, these bodies won't last forever. We walk around in the flesh and blood of dust and ashes that God created for us to live in this life. But God made our souls to endure. He made our spiritual hearts so that they would live forever. And that is the wonderful promise that Jesus is pointing us to in this passage. That promise is rooted in this truth that we need to begin with today, that God created our souls to live forever. God created your soul to live forever. That truest and most important part of who you are, that most real part of who you are. And I know there are a lot of people who go through this life not even aware that they have a spiritual nature. And they look at their bodies and they think about their brains and they think this is all there is. And when it's gone, when it dies, when this body ceases to be able to live and when your heart stops beating, then they think, oh, that's all there is. And so people fear death because they think that's the end of the story. This flesh and blood, this frail and easily broken body is not the truest part of who you are. When God first created Adam and Eve in the garden, it says he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. And then it says that God breathed life into his body. And at that moment, life entered into the human race. And it wasn't just that God breathed oxygen, you know, it wasn't just sort of CPR on Adam. It wasn't just oxygen filling his lungs, but it was spiritual life coming into Adam's soul, and in that sense, coming into our souls, and that is the life that is still within each one of us. Every person who lives on this earth has that spiritual breath of God living within us. It's what makes humans unique and special and above every other part of creation. Animals don't have that spiritual nature of God living within them. And again, think about it. It's God's own breath that gave that life to Adam. It is a part of God that lives within us. It is that spark of eternal life that God placed inside of our souls. He gives us his own life. And he intends for us to live forever. And so that's why Jesus says in verse 26, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Will never die. That truest part of who we are will never actually die. Now that brings us really to the heart of Jesus' words. Though our physical bodies die, our souls live forever through Jesus. And so you have both the sort of the bad news and the good news of life there and of death. The hardest reality of this life is there will come a time when your body will die. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Unless Jesus returns first, and he may, he will someday. But unless he returns first, all of us are going to die. Our physical bodies will die. But our faith tells us that that is not the end of the story for us. Your soul will live on without your physical body. You will be taken immediately into God's presence and receive there a new and heavenly body that will be better in every way than these frail bodies that we walk around in today. Now, it's important that we don't miss Jesus' words here. He says, whoever lives by believing in me. Those are words of faith, right? The promise of resurrection, the promise of eternal life is given to us who acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord, that Jesus is our Savior. Those of us who submit our lives to God's grace through Jesus Christ, we receive the promise of everlasting life through God. So Jesus then asked Martha this question, do you believe this? And you think about Martha there, her brother whom she loved is in the tomb. She's still grieving. It's been 4 days. That's a long time to walk around with grief and sorrow. Finally, Jesus arrives and Martha trusts in Jesus. She even says, Jesus, if you had been here, you could have healed my brother. He wouldn't have died, Jesus, if you had come sooner. But then Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Your brother's going to rise again, Martha. Do you believe these things? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is God's son? Do you believe that he came to save us from our sins? Do you believe that life is found only in him? It's the question of faith for us too, right? What do you believe? And when it comes down to life and death, it's a pretty important question. In fact, it's the most important question that anyone could ever ask, anyone could ever ask themselves. Do you believe this? My prayer is that each one of us can answer the same way that Martha did. And think about the extraordinary faith it took for her in that moment to say these words. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And it's that confession of who Jesus is and what we believe about him and who we believe he is. It's that confession that unlocks the promise of eternity for us. Now, next Sunday, we'll finish the story. We'll read about Jesus raising Lazarus to new life, that amazing miracle that proves God's power over death. But for now, we need to understand this, that when Jesus raised Lazarus, Jesus was pointing ahead to his own death and his own resurrection. Because it's in that story that we find the ultimate fulfillment of our faith. So here's the glorious truth of Scripture for us, that Jesus' resurrection assures us that we too will rise. That we will rise. Now, when Jesus raised Lazarus And he walked out of the tomb, and Lazarus was restored to Mary and Martha and all those people there to witness that. His resurrection was different than the resurrection that we will experience, and I think we understand that. Lazarus' physical body rose, and he resumed life on earth for a while. Of course, eventually, we don't read this in Scripture, but we believe Lazarus eventually died again. Think about that. Died again, and his life on earth eventually did come to an end. But it pointed ahead to Jesus' resurrection, right? Jesus died, his body was placed in a tomb, and then after 3 days, Jesus rose again, his physical body, and for 40 days, Jesus was again alive on this earth before ascending into heaven. Now, resurrection for us is different than that. For us, resurrection means that we will immediately be taken into God's presence in heaven upon the death of our physical body. As Jesus died on the cross, he made another amazing promise. And we should think about it in the context of this story of Jesus about to raise Lazarus to new life and what it means about our own resurrection. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said to the thief who was dying next to him, remember there are two men crucified with Jesus, and one insulted him, but the other thief who was dying there sort of professed faith in his own way in Jesus, and he defended Jesus to the other man who was insulting him. And then Jesus said to that one thief who was dying next to him, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And it's a promise about resurrection. Today you will be with me in paradise. And think about what that moment says to us about death. As Jesus was there experiencing his own physical death, as he endured the spiritual separation from God, remember he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" As our sin is poured over Jesus, even then, Jesus knew that his spirit would endure. And he knew that the soul of that man dying next to him, that his soul also would endure. They would both leave their physical bodies behind, both dying there on their own crosses. But Jesus told him, "We are both going to enter into God's glory." Jesus also knew for sure that on the third day, he would rise again. And that wonderful truth for all of us who come to Jesus in faith, the wonderful truth is that we can have that same assurance, that same certainty, even as we face our own death, we can have the assurance and the certainty of resurrection just as Jesus did. We will experience resurrection too. Our souls will live on in God's presence. Just as Jesus rose to new life, we too will rise. Now, our resurrection will be immediately into heaven. God will give us a new and heavenly body, which will be so much better than what we experience here on this earth. We'll no longer be subject to illness or disease or injury. We will no longer be torn apart by sinful desires. We'll no longer be tormented by temptation. We will experience the joy and wonder of God's glory and of God's love forever and ever. And what we will find in heaven will surpass even the best parts of this life. So much so that it's not even worth comparing. It'll be so much greater, so much more meaningful, so much richer and fuller and more satisfying. We will experience life as God intended it. We will experience life in perfect and unbroken relationship with our loving Creator. So much so that we won't look back on earth and wish we were here. But we will rejoice that we are with God. That is the promise of faith that we cling to. It's the promise that we cling to in life and in death and in resurrection. So let me leave you with one final word of encouragement. And this is also sort of a spiritual exercise, a way to build up your soul, to exercise your spiritual heart. And that is this: it's good for our souls to hope for heaven. It's good for our souls. Let your heart, your mind embrace the promise of resurrection. Daydream about heaven. Be excited about what's coming, what God is preparing for you. Jesus said he's gone to prepare a place for you, a room or a house where you will be there with God and all of God's children. And we should think about that and be excited about that. Now, of course, I don't want any of you to leave this life too soon, right? We want to see each other tomorrow and next week. And we know that God has numbered our days. He knows exactly when he will call you home. And I hope for our sake, that's a long time from now, and you get to live a fruitful, productive, meaningful life for the time that God gives you here. But in the meantime, we can also hope for heaven. And the worries of this life as they weigh us down and all the anxieties that we experience, sometimes we need to set those things aside. We need to turn off all the negativity and all those worries. And we need to hope. We need to fill our hearts with that joyful anticipation. We need to feel good about the promise of paradise. And it's okay at times in your life to say to God, I need to set aside the troubles of this world and I want to look ahead. And maybe God will even give you a taste, a little glimpse of what that paradise will be like. Hoping for heaven is a spiritual discipline. It's sort of a way to exercise your faith, exercise your heart. It's good for us. We can anticipate and be excited about heaven. And it keeps us from getting too attached to this world. So take some time today or this week or sometime soon to rejoice in that promise of resurrection and nourish your soul with that hope that God has given us. Jesus gave us this wonderful promise of eternal life. And we can rejoice in it today just as we will rejoice forever. Let's bow our heads and rejoice. Father, we thank you for the great promise that you've given us. We thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the great assurance that even though our physical bodies will die, and Lord, that's a hard thing to think about, but Lord, we have that great good news that our souls will live on forever with you. And so, Father, we give you thanks for the promise of resurrection. We believe that Jesus rose, and we believe that we too will rise. So, Father, we give you praise and thanks. And we live with that hope in our hearts. Help us to return time and time again to that great promise that we will be with you forever and ever. And, Lord, we look forward with great anticipation to seeing you face to face before your throne, to rejoicing with brothers and sisters of faith down through the generations of believers. Lord, we cling to that good news. We thank you for the promises that you've given us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.